We are good to go, and that is number two. So, Brian, appreciate this. I know it's been a busy stretch for you of late, because you just got back in town a couple of hours ago. So, what have the last couple of days or last couple of weeks been like for you? Because I know it's been a lot of travel.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on. My schedule includes regular visits to Toronto to see my daughters. And then usually that involves a scouting component as part of it. So typically I'll go back for a long weekend and see a game like the Leafs if they're home, Marlies if they're home, Hamilton Bulldogs. I've been at Buffalo four times already this year. So this trip back did not. I had a major charity event for Ducks Unlimited Canada in Toronto, but that's a typical thing. So what we've been working on mainly is now as acting GM, obviously, I've been working the phones pretty hard to see if there's anything we can do to improve our team before the Olympic trade freeze kicks in. Mm-hmm. And so far, no luck. We made a decision on Shane O'Brien last on the weekend that we had talked about for some time, that once we wanted to give Chris Breen a look and see what we could do. And I thought he had a real tough game against Nashville. And so, my view was time to put him on. We thought someone might claim him because he is a good player and he's a good guy. But now we'll see if we can structure some kind of trade and move him while we retain some of the salary.
And so that is kind of the thought going forward, knowing there is another year on the contract. So the number one priority would be looking for a trade, or would you be okay keeping Shane on the roster beyond this season?
Well, at the end of the season, you'd look at, the team has a, obviously, the right to buy a player out. So if that's a guy that didn't figure in our plans, there's a chance to save a little bit of money there. But we haven't even gotten that far yet. Mm-hmm. At this point, we would not hesitate to recall him if we thought he could help. He's not been exiled or banished. He just got sent down because we don't think he's been playing as well as he can. And we want to give Chris Breen a look here. So, and then we'll look at all those other scenarios at the end of the year.
And not derogatory at all, but there seemed to be a lot of candidates as to who you could recall on the defensive side of things. So what was it about Chris Breen that made you decide that, yeah, this is the guy that we're going to settle on?
Well, when we sent Chris Breen down, I don't interfere with the coaches. Like, I don't tell Bob Hartley who to play. I don't tell Troy Ward who to play. But I did say to Troy, I said, this young man, we got to find out about Chris Breen. And we got to play. I said, play him till he drops. So he's been playing in every situation. We had to get his fitness levels up. You can ride the bike and do all those things, but actually playing and logging minutes, we had to get his ice time up and get his fitness levels up. So now we're going to give him a look. But that's, to me, I want a sequence here. I want there to be a progression for young players where you put in your time. You don't say, oh, well, Wotherspoon was a high pick. Let's give him a couple games. Or mm-hmm. Berchi was a high pick. Let's put their time in, body of work, and earn their right to come up here and play for the Calgary Flames. So I think Chris Breen has done that.
Brian Burke is with us, the president of hockey operations for the Flames. The last stretch, the two straight games that you've won here at home, and then some really close losses on the road in Vancouver and San Jose. Over the last week or so, what have you seen from your team on the ice?
Well, I think I said this in the newspaper here, and I don't want to be repetitive for people that are driving in their cars or listening at home and say this is old news, but our teams go through four stages, right? They crawl, then they walk, then they run, then they sprint. And that last one's the hardest one, where you put your team in contention and really have a shot at winning a Stanley Cup. For us to progress to the next stage, we need two building blocks that I think we've put in place. And we have no chance of progressing unless those two building blocks are in place. One is our work ethic. We have to be able to work as hard or harder than the team we play every night, and we've done that. And the second is there has to be a buy-in for the systems. It's as I've said many times, basically the equation is work times system times skill, or work plus system plus skill. We need to upgrade our skill and size, but we've got those two building blocks in place. Bob's got them working and buying in. I'm very pleased with those two parts of what we've done. And our players finally got rewarded in the last two games with some success where they've played well enough to win and not been rewarded.
I know that you were very adamant, and you put the statement out following what happened on Saturday in Vancouver about your support for Bob Hartley and the way he went about things. And I guess just how impressed have you been, or what is the level of support that you have for the head coach right now?
Well, the incident in Vancouver, I think our fans should understand, I don't believe Bob Hartley instigated any of that. I've made a very long, vocal, difficult, profane discussions with Colin Campbell about this very fact. And I respect Colin. I like him too. But I think here, this is all Bob did was start two big guys. I think the reaction to it, taking the temperature up and making sure it turned into a circus, was all done by other people involved in this. And I won't say who they were. So I really feel it was wrong that Bob was singled out like that. And my view of Bob Hartley hasn't changed since I met him. I think he's an honest guy that works extremely hard. He's learned the coaching trade the hard way. You know, this is not a guy who came up the easy way and got jobs handed to him because he was a former NHL player. This is a guy who taught himself to coach and worked his way up the ladder. I like coaches who are hard on players during games. I don't think games were ever designed to be fun. Hockey isn't fun at this level. The fun is when you win. And I think he's hard on the players, demanding on the players in-game, but I think he provides a positive teaching environment the rest of the time, which is all I want. I want a learning atmosphere for the young players when we're not playing, but during the games, coach says jump, you say how high.
Knowing the scenario that your team is in contract-wise and certain players that are pending UFAs and all of that, what is your philosophy on, I guess, the two deadlines? You've got the Olympic trade freeze, and then you've got the overall trade freeze on March 5th. How do you approach them, and do you differentiate between the two of them?
No, I think you're going to get some real compression on. I sense that the phone activity's picked up dramatically the last little bit because I think teams are going to try and do some things before the Olympic trade freeze to save money, for one thing, because the players continue to be paid during the freeze. But I think you're going to see some real compression when we come back out of that freeze on whatever it is, the 23rd or whatever. And then the deadline's only, you know, March 5th, so it's like 10 days later or 12 days later. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see some real compression and difficulty there. I've always tried to make my deals in advance of the deadline. I've been very vocal about that, but that's when I was adding. Right now, we're probably more in a selling mode. If we're not going to sign some of these guys, then we are going to see what they command, what kind of price they would command on the market. And we'll go from there.
And does that maybe make it so that come to the actual deadline day where it can, because you've said before, it can get stupid with the prices paid because you are in a different scenario? Are you maybe a little bit more inclined to wait till the deadline?
Yeah, I think so. But they're, you know, I never felt I got a bargain when I was out in front of the deadline. I always felt I paid the same premium that you pay at the deadline. I just felt I got the player sooner and got to acclimate him to my team for a longer period of time. So I thought there was logic and fairness and merit in doing it early, but I didn't felt, you know, I never felt like I saved any assets or saved any money. I always felt like I got gouged just like I did at the deadline. So I never felt good about those deals. I just thought it was the right timing.
Brian Burke's with us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. One of the players that you won't be thinking about that with is Matt Stage. And just about a week ago, you signed him to a contract extension. I guess take us through your process in determining that you wanted Matt around for four more years.
Well, Matt's been a really good player for the Calgary Flames. It's unfortunate that the team hasn't had success since he came here. And so I think there's some people who associate that with Matt. I think there's also that he was traded for a popular player, and there's that. So I think people underappreciate what Matt Stajan does for a hockey team, and I don't. When I got here, I said to him, don't think I'm following you around. I'm going to get rid of you again. The only reason I traded Matt Stajan to the Calgary Flames is because Daryl Sutter insisted that he be in the deal. We weren't shopping Matt Stajan. We weren't trying to move him. He's got a very high hockey IQ. He's been great with the young kids here. Like to see him get a little bit stronger. He knows that. We've talked about that. But he's been a real good hockey player for the Calgary Flames, and he's being rewarded because of that and because of his leadership role with the kids. So it's funny. The people in hockey that know this player all said the same thing. Like, I probably got 10 calls on from other GMs and management people saying, you know, that's a good number for Matt Stajan. He's a good player. That's nice you locked him up. All complimentary. But for some reason, there's some people around here that don't think he does his job because we haven't had success. I never hang that on one player. I never blame that on one player.
And knowing that the cap is going up and it seems like it's going to be that way every year, it seems like it's a pretty cap-friendly deal right now, but will become even more cap-friendly as the contract progresses. Is that one of the ways you look at it?
I would say it's a number that makes sense for both sides. Given his lack of production, I think it's a fair number. Like, we're really happy with Matt, but if he had bigger numbers, it would be a bigger number for us, okay, too, in the salary. I've got pretty clear instructions from ownership here on what we want to do. and from Ken King, which is we want to be fair with our players. This is not a case where if a player is worth $2 million and I can get him at 1.5 in a hard cap system, that's money we could spend on another player. So there is some incentive to try and, you know, to always keep your costs as low as you can. But beyond that, the ownership group here has given me clear instructions. They want to be fair. It's a player-friendly environment here. We want to be fair with our players. And there was no, when I talked to Ken about extending Matt, no issue. Yep, we, you know, whatever you think is right. But, you know, we got to keep some of our players. We can't let all these guys go. They're going to be unrestricted free agents. And we're starting with the guys that have contributed the most, and that's Matt Staden.
There are some interesting decisions that you have to make, and I guess presumably before the trade deadline with, you know, some of the pending unrestricted free agents you have. Are there any updates on potential contract extensions or anything that you're talking about right now?
We're in discussions with a couple of players. I think I know fans like to know up to the minute who we're talking to and where it sits. And I think fans are entitled to know a lot, but there's sometimes when information gets in the way. And so to characterize it, say, oh, we've done this, we've done it. We have had discussions with several of the players who are unrestricted. And for that matter, we're going to start on some of the guys who are restricted and see. And if there are not situations where we can come up with a number that makes sense, then, yes, we're going to probably see those guys head out, you know, to the airport on March 5th. So I wouldn't be more specific than that. But, yes, to answer your question truthfully, we have had discussions with a number of players.
Any update on the search for a general manager?
No. Again, that's it's going to be done quietly.
Yeah.
Here's my sense, though. I think fans are entitled to – I think you're entitled to ask that question. And I think our fans – we got great fans here. I think they're entitled to have some general sense of what we're doing. I did not come here to be the GM. I do not want to be the GM. But I think the list of people that we want to talk to, we are not going to get permission. We've already been told flat out, don't ask on some of these guys. There is an issue within the National Hockey League. You used to be able to compensate teams to hire staff away. There were a number of disputes between teams over that. The most recent one was Peter Chiarelli when he came from Ottawa as assistant GM. But you used to be able to get those people out of their contracts. Like, I gave up a second-round pick to get Mark Crawford to be the coach in Vancouver. I gave up a second-round pick to get Randy Carlisle. Now, after the Peter Chiarelli hiring, the league ruled you could no longer do that. And so you're not going to see teams give permission to talk to key front office personnel during the season. And I think Buffalo was an aberration. But I think for the list that we want to talk to, because this is a very important hiring, obviously. We got to get this right. And there's two hirings, too. We're hiring an assistant GM right as well. For that, those lists to be what we want, they're going to have to be after the season. Either after the regular season or after playoffs for some teams or even after the draft.
Yeah, and I know that you were aware of that, you know, that potential hurdle as soon as you made the decision to become the acting general manager. So has it surprised you how cold it's been in a lot of ways, or is this kind of exactly what you were expecting?
This is exactly what I was expecting. I mean, it's not my first rodeo, and it's one of the things that when I met with ownership and recommended the change, it's one of the scenarios we talked about is that we might not be able to put a guy in place until even after the draft. We just had our amateur scouting meetings. I think our guys know exactly what we're looking for. We just had our pro meetings, so we're getting lined up for that with the trade deadline. I think we're fully functional with myself as the acting general manager for now, and if we have to get through the draft, we'll do it. But we'll see. That'll depend on what other teams do.
When does your focus shift to Sochi and the Olympic Games?
Probably about an hour before I get on that plane. I mean, the work's been done just like Team Canada. I mean, the hard part is, you know, you put in a rating system, you have your orientation camp, you make your selections. We're probably going to have a decision or two to make before we leave due to injury. But they want us in New York. I guess we're leaving on the 9th, and they want us in New York the day before. So I'll be heading to Sochi on the 9th. And then, there's a trade freeze on while we're over there, but there'll be a lot of discussions, I'm sure, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you for your time. Thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure.
Brian Burke is the president of hockey operations and the acting general manager of the Flames.